From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you and welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue our series of studies in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and the miracle that's commonly called the healing of the nobleman's son. The study this week will be healing a son and saving a father. So stay with us as we look together into the Word of God. First, we start with our hot topic for today, 300 million believers in China. The Chinese Communist government has long acknowledged that there are about 100 million Christian believers in China. Now, according to the British Broadcasting Corporation, a poll conducted by Shanghai University and reported in the Chinese state-controlled press shows that as many as 300 million people in China claim to be Christian believers. According to the poll, 31.4% of those over 16 claim to be, quote, religious. The figures are staggering and encouraging. All the same, they should be greeted with a certain amount of caution. After over half a century of communist brainwashing and vicious persecution, Christianity has refused to die out in China. The communists claim that when they took over the country, there were approximately 1 million Christians. The communists aim to eradicate all such believers and rid the nation of religion. Mao has long since gone to meet the God he denied. His revolution is taking a direction he could never have envisaged, and Christianity is alive and well, with millions professing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. However, we must sound a cautionary note. There's a natural tendency to see, in such figures, evidence of the triumph of the gospel. And the gospel has triumphed, and is triumphing, in China. The 31.4% who claim to be religious are not necessarily all Christians. In fact, we know that there are religious movements in China, just as there are here, that are assuredly not Christian. And among those who claim to be Christians are many who adhere to churches or movements that are not Christian in any biblical sense of the word. In other words, in our desire to see the victory of the cross in China, we must not adopt an ecumenical definition of Christian. If we do, we may swell the numbers of professors, but we'll weaken the testimony of true believers. And there are millions of true believers in China. In fact, if people continue to embrace the gospel as they have over the last half century, one of the intriguing questions for the next half century will be, what kind of a nation will China be? It's not impossible that the voice of Christian reason, now so muted in the West, will sound more clearly from the East. Time will tell. But that, if it ever does arise, is in the future. The present reality is that though Christians are multiplying in China, they are still the focus of brutal persecution from a communist regime that fears all dissent or even independent thought. Christianity in China must, in the words of the well-known hymn, sail through bloody seas as it seeks, like Paul, to win the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
And open my life, faith and
During this month of April, we have been making a very special offer to you here in Let the Bible Speak. We want you to know that we do appreciate you listening in and making this program part of your day. We appreciate those who pray for us, and we want to let you know in a very practical way. Some time ago, I produced a book on the Lord's Prayer. The Lord has greatly used it, and we have heard from many of God's people of the blessing that has been in their lives. So we are making this special offer through the month of April, and since 1 week starts with the last day of April, we're going to be generous, and while our stocks last, we're going to extend it into that first week in May. The book, The Lord's Prayer, is available to those who write or call or email and simply tell us they would like to have it. So you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll free at 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we trust that you'll be richly blessed as you study the Lord's Prayer.
Dear Savior, Thou art mine, how sweet the thought to me. Let me repeat Thy name and lift my heart to Thee. Sinner's friend, so I Thy friendship claim. A sinner saved by grace, when Thy sweet message came, mine, mine, mine. My hardened heart was touched, thy pardoning voice I heard, and joy and peace came in while listening to thy word. Sing thy praise, so let me call thee mine. I cannot doubt thy word, I know that I am thine. Mine, 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 I know.
Two Bible readings this morning, fairly brief, as we continue the studies in the life of Christ. First, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, just two verses, 12 and 13. And then, back this week to John, chapter 4, reading from verse 43. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. Verses 12 and 13, and then John 4, starting at verse 43. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zabulon and Naphtali. John 4 and verse 43. Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, His servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his precious word for his name's sake. Last Sabbath day, we left Christ in Samaria. He spent two full days there, as after speaking to the woman and the people who came thronging him and leading them to the knowledge of himself, he spent those two full days there teaching them further the things of God. And after that, he journeyed into Galilee. Now, at this point, it's a little difficult to be precise or to be overly certain as to the details of the journey. Commentators differ. The key to much of it is found in the reference that we read in John chapter 4, verse 44, he testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. What is precisely meant by the word country? Some commentators, ancient and modern, believe that that's him leaving Judea, and it's called his own country because that's where he was born. Others say no, he lived in Galilee, so it's Galilee's his own country. And he went there precisely because he would not have any honor there. Even though they would throng him, they wouldn't honor him, and it wouldn't force a showdown with the Pharisees, as was going to happen in Judea. Various reasons why I believe both of those missed the mark, and I'm not going to take time going into them this morning. My purpose isn't to establish a chronology of the life of Christ. I think that his own country is Nazareth. Every other use of the particular Greek term, so translated, in reference to Christ, always speaks of Nazareth. And I can see no good reason why here it wouldn't speak of Nazareth. Now, if that's the case, I think that by looking at John 4 and Matthew 4, we can come to a fairly certain idea of the main outline of events. On hearing of John's imprisonment, the Lord Jesus left Judea for Galilee. And as we have learned, he went via Samaria. Seems to me that he stopped off in Nazareth as he went into Galilee, while at least some, probably all of his disciples, went on to Capernaum or Bethsaida, certainly on up to the northerly shores of the Sea of Galilee. I think that is true because later we find him calling James and John, or James and then Peter and Andrew, got the order mixed up there, Peter and Andrew and then James and John, from their boats to come and follow him to become fishers of men. So they must have gone back to their trade for a while. Nothing very much out of the ordinary there. These disciples had met Christ in Judea. They had spent longer there than they had anticipated. They had been with him in his ministry there. They had been with him in Samaria. And no doubt their families back in Galilee were wondering what on earth had happened to them. The rest of the pilgrims were long back and they hadn't arrived. So it wouldn't take much of a stretch for the imagination to see that they went on about their business back to their families, at least for a time, and probably had many things to settle. The Lord Jesus, as I said, went to Nazareth. But there he found no welcome. There he found no honor. We'll discover that later on when we get to Luke chapter 4. The attitude of the Nazarenes. The old saying that familiarity breeds contempt was never more true than in their case. They were contemptuous of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, finding no reception there, he moved on to Capernaum. I don't want to take time this morning really preaching and applying the message of the introduction. But we have seen this again and again. We have seen it in our own country. I have certainly seen it in Britain. To the British Isles, the world largely owes the spread of the gospel. Sure, other European nations were involved. But to the British Isles, the world owes the spread of the gospel. And to this nation, however much coming up to the 4th of July, Americans may not like to think of it, this nation, which is the daughter of the British nation. Just reading Spurgeon's prayer before one of his great sermons, when he prayed for the two great English-speaking nations, that God would bless them in their adherence to the gospel and in their preaching of Christ to the world. Great prayer that we should all pray. But to get back to what I was saying, I've seen our nation, and I think we're beginning to see this nation. So familiar with Christ, yet despising him and giving him no honor. And we find that as the Savior left Nazareth and went to do his mighty works elsewhere, so he's done that. You can hardly find him in England today. Oh, there are here and there places where good and godly people are taking their stand for God, and Christ is among them. But on a national level, you'd have to say he has left that Nazareth. He's gone to places that for centuries have been sunk in the darkness of heathenism, and he's gone and done mighty works there. I think one of the great heartbreaks of 20th century history is that while there have been revivals in many parts of the world, revivals in which American preachers and English preachers and Irish preachers have been the instruments of God, we have not seen revival in England. Oh, there was a revival for a while in Wales in the early part of the century. There was a revival in Scotland and the outer islands. But those small islands did not affect the nation. We have not seen revival. Why? Because where Christ, so familiar, has been despised, he has left them to their contempt. We need to be praying that God will not give up this nation. God will yet again give this nation the spirit of repentance. And that revival and blessing and the movings of the Holy Ghost will not be just news from the mission fields of the world, but it will be an experience here. He left Nazareth and he moved on to Capernaum and took up his dwelling there, really, and made it the center of his operations for his great Galilean ministry. I think it was likely on his way from Nazareth to Capernaum. I say likely because Holy Land geographers are not absolutely certain as to where Cana was. But if it's where it's thought to have been, it would appear to me likely that on his way to Capernaum, the Lord Jesus went and visited Cana. And there he healed the nobleman's son. After which he resumed his journey in due time to Capernaum and began to preach the great message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Called his disciples from their daily occupations to come follow him and be fishers of men. And thus, in real earnest, started that great Galilean ministry. listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.